You're listening to Bands and Botanicals, a unique podcast where we discuss herbalism, fitness, and healthy habits for life. Enjoy the show.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back. So today we have just a little herbal bud for you. We're going to be talking about goldenrod and burdock root. Firstly, goldenrod is a favorite of mine. It's also called sweet goldenrod or blue mountain tea. Goldenrod can grow in North America, South America, Central America, Europe, Asia. At this point, if you are determined enough, you can grow it pretty much anywhere. It's part of the Asteraceae family, which is the sunflower and daisy family. The energetics of goldenrod are cooling, warming, and tonifying. So when we talk about energetics, we really have to focus on where the herb is doing the work within our bodies. Now, the taste of goldenrod can be a little bitter and pungent, but it has a sweet aromatic kind of smell to it, which is really interesting. You can use the roots, the leaves, tops of the flowers, really the whole plant of goldenrod can be applied. Because it has warming, cooling, tonifying aspects to it, that means that when we hear tonifying, that's astringent qualities that it has. It's also a diuretic, so that's where that stimulating comes in. Also, it's carminative, so there's herbs like rosemary that are carminative that are pushing and kind of working things through the body. Goldenrod is antiseptic, antispasmodic, antibacterial, so depending on the application, it's a great herb to use in formulations. Not necessarily the best on its own for every use. For instance, you can do parsley and goldenrod together in a smoothie. So that's a really good kind of diuretic in the morning. And the leaves can be used in a tea as like a tonifying agent for the stomach in formulation with other herbs. You can use the fresh flowers and make a tincture and then apply that as like a respiratory agent. But remember, when we're talking about applications, you really have to look at what kind of respiratory issue you're having. Is it a dry cough or a cold cough? You know, are you trying to get crud out of your body, or are you trying to bring moisture in? And then we look at how we can apply goldenrod in a formulation with other herbs to support your whole health. So just to get into a little bit of the phytochemistry. Now, when we talk about phytochemistry, that's the chemical constituents that are normally pulled out in science. They pull out these chemical constituents of natural plants and then use just those constituents. Instead, when you get the whole plant, you're getting all of the aspects of it that are occurring naturally, which is more beneficial to your body. So when we talk about goldenrod, we talk about that anti-inflammatory, antispasmodic, and we also mentioned how it's good for the respiratory system. So one of the chemicals, the phytochemicals in there is cucerin, and we have probably heard this before, but it's also naturally occurring in a lot of vegetables and herbs. And so when we look at needing something in particular, you hear about a chemical constituent or a vitamin, so to speak, really look and see if those are naturally occurring before just buying the one constituent within it, get a more naturally occurring fruit or vegetable to incorporate. The other one that is most often recognized as tannins are present in goldenrod, so that's giving it more of that bitter kind of tart flavor. Tannins sometimes accelerate blood clotting, so depending if you're using this as a poultice with a few other herbs, it can be beneficial in that way. It also reduces blood pressure and decreases the lipid levels within your blood. And the biggest thing for tannins, we hear about this a lot when we talk about wines, it's immune modulating, so it's increasing that immune response that we have within our bodies. One of the ways that I like to incorporate goldenrod is if you have a wet cough and you've got like a chilled, so it's more of a fall allergy feeling, you can do goldenrod, a little cinnamon, some nettle to dry things out a little bit, rose hips to kind of soften and level everything out, and then elderflower. Now, granted, I've been using herbs quite often, so it's not always the best tasting tea. You can always add honey to it, but it's going to definitely get the job done. If you are in a formulating stage and you're looking to incorporate a few herbs at once into something, and you're looking for help with muscle spasms, joint pain, gout, or arthritis, consider using goldenrod as one of the herbs. Now, the other herb I have is burdock, especially here in the States. Since we're going into fall, I always think of burdock because the roots have been used in stews and soups and things in Japanese and Korean cultures for a really long time, like braised burdock root with soy sauce and a few spices. It's really good for digestion. So burdock can really be grown anywhere, but most easily it grows in like Australia, New Zealand, Canada, places like that. It's harvested in the fall, so this is a really good time if you've been growing herbs or if you're considering growing them next year and trying to find things that you can harvest later in the season. Burdock is a really good one because you can use the roots and the leaves. It's also in the Asteraceae family, so that's the dandelion sunflower family. It has a 2-year life cycle, so it has this gorgeous flower stalk that comes up, but you're not going to be able to normally see that until year 2, and that's also the year that you would harvest any of the seeds. So when we talk about burdock, we think of the kind of spiny ball at the top of it when it fruits or flowers. So the leaves of the burdock look somewhat similar to rhubarb if you grow other vegetables and things like that within your garden. And the leaves were used in folk medicine and given to dogs with rabies as a cure. The reason is that burdock is believed to expel a lot of toxins and purify the blood. It is a diuretic, so it's good for more dry, stuck conditions, kind of getting those things out of the body. But if you are a person with very dry, say, inflammation where it's a grinding pain, you're not necessarily going to want to incorporate burdock root, especially as the main herb you're using. So when we look at the naturally occurring phytochemicals within, ursolic acid is one that's giving it its anti-inflammatory properties. So like I mentioned, when you're looking for essential vitamins or minerals or antioxidants, always look at incorporating them from herbs and food so you get the whole health benefit instead of grabbing supplements off of the shelf. So one of the ways that I've used burdock is actually taking the flower, or you can call it the fruit seed pod at the top, and grinding up the seed within. And so the chemical constituents and phytochemicals within the seeds themselves actually work really well with more mature skin because it allows the regeneration of the dermal layer. And that pretty much wraps it up for today. So we will see you next time. And just as a reminder, any ideas or topics discussed during this podcast should not be a replacement for any type of medical advice. I have a knowledge of herbal medicine. Any decision to incorporate an exercise or herbal remedy is always your own.